welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today I have a fabulous guest all the way from Mexico. Yes, our first guest ever from Mexico. His short film, A Lovely Death, Mikael Del Campo, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That's great. I want to start off from the beginning. How hard is it to make a short film or a full-length film in Mexico? Like, is there a booming film industry? I don't know. I don't get much Mexican film.
Right. Well, the industry here is a little different than in the U.S. You know, in the U.S. you have a lot of production companies. You have Disney, Warner Brothers. And although we have production companies, we don't have as big as those ones. So it's mostly like this in a similar way that independent cinema works in the U.S. So yeah, you have a lot of small independent production companies, and that's how you're able to work mostly on features. In my case, I've been doing, as a director, I've been working all of my work has been short films. But yeah, I've been working on features. I've been working on a lot of different things that work on these independent production companies.
So do you have a large pool of actors you normally work with, or do you have to put ads out for your actors every short?
Well, it depends. Before I went to the New York Film Academy to study in the the U.S., sometimes when I used when I needed people for my short films, I did have like some preferred actors I loved working with. But once I moved to the U.S. and you know I was there as a student, so mostly I used to hire the same students. But when I was enabled, I also worked with some. Not as a director, but on productions that I work with, I help finding people from different parts. You know, you have to go to different websites or, you know, you when you have multiple connections, you ask one of them and they know a friend who knows a friend, all those sort of things.
Now, when you direct, I mean, if you're shooting in Mexico, I presume you just speak Spanish to your actors or do you speak English also? I mean, obviously, you're fluent in both languages. Do you flip often? I mean, obviously, I understand if you're in America, you use English. But in Mexico, yep. I presume it's just straight Spanish all the time? Or is there English mixed in, too?
Oh, no. When the things that I have done here in Mexico have been most have been Spanish at all. Well, completely Spanish. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I haven't done anything that it's like that requires me to speak English here in Mexico. But right now I'm actually working on the pre-production of a short film that in the story takes place in the U.S., but we might have to shoot it here in Mexico. So I might require to speak both Spanish and English for this project.
So will you find that difficult then, finding English-speaking actors in Mexico for your next project?
Not really. I think that here in Mexico, most of us are very used to speaking English. I think that a lot of us are taught English from a very early age. And, you know, I don't know if it's because we are basically neighbors of the U.S., but we've been, we have a lot of these, American, products, American shows, movies. So for us, it's like very, we're very used to all of this, so it's not really that difficult to find people who can speak English. I know people who speak English better than me, which it's not really that hard.
Well, okay. Now, you did produce the music for this short we're about to discuss, correct? It's all your music?
So no. Sorry. It's not my music, but the music of a music composer. But yeah, we did music for the short film.
Oh, it wasn't your music, because I wrote down it was your music.
Oh, no. It was done by a friend, a very good friend of mine. I've known him since I was in high school here in Mexico, but he studied music on I believe it was Spain. And yeah, we both worked together on this music for the short film.
Okay, you work together. So do you give him directions on what kind of music do you want, or do you let him see the short first and then do music? How does that work for you?
Well, first of all, I sent him the short film before he made the music for the short film. I put like some samples on it just so he could get like an idea of what I wanted. You know, music that I found on YouTube after hours of research. And then once he heard it, he like I remember that mine was very different because before I had the idea of having a piano, it was mostly a piano, and he told me that that was a little overused. So he sent me his proposal, and after that, it was like months of basically him doing a new version of the music, and then I used to give him like, I like this, I don't like this. And yeah, it was actually months and months because I was so busy with other projects, but eventually we both ended with that version that we both liked.
So after you finish the short and you get your music, how long does that take to put the whole project together?
Well, after we were done with the music, I remember that we were working with another friend of mine who is a very good color composer. So he did a minor tweaks to the color of the short film. And after that, it was basically just a minor tweaks with the credits, all of that. I would say like maybe it was like another 4 months after the music was done. And after that, we started sending it to festivals. I believe it was in June when we started the festival run.
Okay, so how did you decide to use this location in this short?
Well, actually, for this short film, unfortunately, I was very restricted because of my budget. Being a student in the U.S., it's very difficult and expensive, especially if you come from countries on which, well, the peso is not as strong as the dollar. So it was very difficult. So I had to compromise a lot on a lot of things for my short films there. Especially because I was saving money for a thesis film that it was never done because of the pandemic. So I remember I had my screenplay and I had a bunch of different locations, but because of my budget again, I was forced to reduce as much as possible. And luckily, one of my friends who actually is in the short film, he had an apartment, which I think worked perfectly for the short film because that's all that we needed. And yeah, we were a very small crew, but we worked very well. I had the fortune to have an amazing cast and crew. And yeah, we were able to shoot what I wanted to tell in only one location, basically.
How many days did you shoot for?
Oh, it was only 2 days. Again, because of the time restriction and budget restrictions, but I believe we were able to do all that we wanted to do there. So yeah, the 2 days, that's all we needed.
Okay, the look of the lead actor, the hood, how long did it take you to come up with that idea, or is that your idea the whole time?
Well, yeah. I always knew that I wanted to him to be the Green Reaper, so I looked for the costume on Amazon. I looked for the costume on different Halloween shops around Burbank. And yeah, I was able to find one locally, and then we had an amazing makeup artist who helped us to come up with this makeup that he has.
And okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, that was all.
Okay. The creation of the book, what was written in that book?
Actually, yeah, the book, it was a little Easter egg for us. Basically, all the names there are from the people of our crew and the cast. So that was something that we put, a little Easter egg for us.
So if other people noticed that their names were in the book when they watched it, did they know ahead of time?
Yeah, they know. When I showed them the short film, they thought it was funny to show them all their names in a bloody red color.
So no words are spoken, but what direction did you give your actors, or did you have a run-through beforehand?
Mostly blocking, just tell them where I wanted them to be so we can rehearse with the camera. Also, what was best, because we were in a very tight space, so the directions were mostly physical about what I wanted. I think that I had the fortune to have very good actors because they, given that they weren't able to speak, they needed to portray everything physically. I used to tell them, on this scene, this is the motivation of your character, this is where it's going to go. I need you to portray this. And honestly, I didn't have to give them a lot of directions when it came to where to look, how to move, because I really understood well what I wanted to tell my characters. So, I think that good directors, well, good actors, actually. They do their job before, and if they're good, I don't think that you really need to tell them a lot, except blocking, because they understand what the character feels, what they think, and what where they are going.
Okay. I see what you're saying, but I mean, do you always get the shot you want with just blocking? Like, you don't really say, okay, I need you to move a little bit more to the left or a little more to the right, or you're not giving me the right emotion. Do you get that?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like you said, sometimes you have to tell them, hey, I want to put the camera here, so I'm going to need you to move this other way and not this way. Some minor tweaks were done while we were shooting, also when we were rehearsing on location.
Do the actors find it weird with this kind of plot that they don't get to speak?
I think that they found it challenging. Because this is not something that it's usually done, you know. These days, most of things have dialogue. So I think that it's always a challenge for everyone on the screenplay, when you're directing or acting on this. I think it's a challenge to only portray this without words. So I think that for them, it was a challenge. And that's what I like about actors, when they try different things, that they challenge them to do something that they never done before.
Now, was the hood always going to fall, or has that changed throughout the plot, or you had planned never to drop the hood?
Actually, it was never supposed to do that, but I remember that my actor suggested that. I remember it was a suggestion from both of them, the actor and the actress. And I think it was lovely, because the way that he reveals his face, it felt very humane. It felt very emotional for both of them. And at the end, when he puts it again, it's like he realizing that he has to go do his job again. That, like a little, like going back to where he was, like this... the loss of his hope of having a relationship with this person. So yeah, I think that that was mostly the actors, but it was a very good suggestion.
So did you have another flower other than roses, or roses were always the way you were going?
Roses. I remember that it was always the way that I wanted. I don't know why, but I really like that flower. It's very cinematic. You see it in a lot of different films. And I think that went well with what I wanted to tell, because of the red color that also present on the film at the end, with the lights, with the dress of the actress. So yeah, when you see that red color going to black because it's getting rotten by his touch, I think it was a very nice touch.
Okay, who made the food in the short?
Oh, the food in the short. It was actually them, because it was on the actor's kitchen. I wasn't like very comfortable doing the food there because we were a small crew. So he was very nice and he prepared the food.
Mm-hmm. You have a lighting change of the room color. How was to do that at the end of the film?
Oh, I believe that was done with some LED lights. I remember that we were working on other short films, and a couple of friends, they were going to use it for their films, and they said, hey, this would look great for this moment for your short film. And yeah, they were very nice to let me use them. And yeah, I had a very good DP who was able to do this change, and I think it looked very well with the emotion and the climax of the film.
Okay, now I just have three fun questions for you. I apologize. Your film's only like 7.5 minutes. So I've done pretty
understand.
Good, I think.
Thank
okay,
you.
Your favorite film, please, because it's your first time on the show.
Oof. My favorite film. That's always a very hard question for me. I'd like to say two for the moment, because I have like a bunch.
That's fine.
I can change. The film that really inspired me to become a filmmaker is Toy Story 2.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's
you're a
very
young guy then. Toy Story 2, wow. I saw that in theaters.
Yeah,
I saw Toy Story 1 in theaters too.
Really? I would have loved to watch the first one. Yeah, I still remember when my parents took me and my brothers to watch it. I remember the film theater, going down the stairs to go to the movie. How do you say? The movie room where they projected that film. And yeah, when it was done, I knew on that moment that I wanted to be on that industry. Although I didn't know what a director was at the moment. I thought the director was the one who holds the camera. And when I got into film school, I learned that I suck with all technical aspects of the filmmaking process. So yeah, Toy Story 2 is one of the films that, well, it's a film that inspired me. But if I had to say one Mexican movie, I would say Macario. It's a very good Mexican film, which I believe was the first Mexican film to be nominated for Best International Film at the Golden Globes. And yeah, I think that it's a film that really shows the culture of my country. It's a very beautiful film on black and white of, I believe, May on the 60s. It was directed by Roberto Gabaldon. And yeah, I think it's a very, I think it's one of the most important films in the Mexican, Mexican history. So yeah, I would say those two for the moment, but you know, they can change.
Fair enough. One person you're sure you're going to work with in the future.
Wow. To choose only one person. That's a very tough one. If I had to say only one for the moment, I think I'm going to say probably the one that most Mexicans are going to say, Guillermo del Toro. I think that his work is, I think he's one of the best Mexican directors working these days. And also we love him here in Mexico. He's very well known for always helping, Mexican filmmakers, to get started on this industry. And yeah, I think that, what I would love to tell on my future films is something that he's also very interested in. So yeah, I think I would love to work with him, hopefully.
Now, since you went to school outside of Mexico, I have to ask this. What's your favorite fast food place to eat at?
Fast food in the U.S.?
Yes, in the U.S.
Whoa, in the U.S. Well, I was in L.A. for a very long time, so I'm going to have to say In-N-Out, because those burgers they are amazing. They're not incredibly expensive. No, they're cheap. They give it to you very quickly, and they're very fresh. Yeah, I love those burgers with all my life.
Tell everybody where they can find your films.
Oh, my film is currently going on film festival, so it's not online. Hopefully in the future it will be. Right now, it's going to be projected on the Miami International Science Fiction Film Festival next week. And after that, I'm not really sure. It's still going on its festival run, so we're hoping to get selected in more festivals. But yeah, soon it's going to be probably online. And if that's the case, I'm going to post it in my social media, YouTube channel.
Okay, thank you, and have a great night.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to meet you. And yeah, thank you very much again for having me.